Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
All right, Luke chapter 16 is where we're going to be reading from, and we're going to start in verse 10. Last week, how many of you enjoyed Pastor Chad Veach? We are so grateful for Chad and his message, and really last week, we began our lead towards our Miracle in Motion offering on December 3rd. And back in September, every year we kind of give the church a theme. And I don't like that word because it sounds way too small. Really what we do is we give the church a phrase that we feel like God has given to us that we should all be embodying and living out. And this year's phrase from God, the whisper from heaven, was that we are a miracle in motion. And I don't know about you, I don't know when a miracle starts, and I don't know when a miracle ends. What I do know is that we're called to steward the miracle. And so one time a year, if you're a guest, this does not pertain to you, but those of you that call VU Church home, one time a year we come and we bring an offering above and beyond our regular giving. And what the offering is for, it's intended to accelerate the vision. I think it's just a matter of time before God does what he wants to do in this city, but I want to be a person who helps accelerate the vision. So on December 3rd, we're all going to bring a miracle in motion offering to give above and beyond that God might accelerate the vision, and we might see him do something great in Miami. And I thought I would take the next 4 weeks or so, and I want to preach to you some staple things that have to happen in our house if we're going to steward the miracle that we're in. And so I want to do so today by looking at Luke chapter 16, just a few verses. And today is just going to kind of give us a big introduction of where we're going for the next few weeks. And I encourage you to come on the journey of this collection. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. These are Jesus' words. He says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy. Everyone say trustworthy. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? You see, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And today I want to take a few moments and I want to preach to you from this thought, what if? What if? It's a question. And I hope today as we leave, we can start to fill in the blank a little bit for our lives and for our church. What if? Would you pray with me? Even in the additional seating, why don't you pray with us as well? Lord, we thank you so much that you brought us here. We thank you for your word that's alive and active, doing work in our lives. We pray now that you would have your way in this place, that you would speak to us in such a clear way. God, we know that you are good even when the hurricanes lose, but Lord, we are so reminded of your mercy and grace when they win. And we just say thank you for 9-0. It just sounds so good, and we honor you with that. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody said, amen. Come on, VU Church, if you love him today. I said, if you love him today, can you make some noise in the house? So church is one of those things that, like, you kind of get out of it what you put into it. And so, like, I'm going to plan to take the next 30 minutes. I know we got some guests here. And, like, I'm going to sweat and holler and shout. I'm going to feel what I'm talking about. And you can just sit and be cool and be like, yo, I got brunch after this. Or if you match the same energy of what I'm putting out here today, I got a feeling that God's going to start to do something on the inside of your life, and it's going to be a far better experience for both of us. So come on, anybody love him today? Why don't we make some noise in the 11 a.m. service? In life, you'll discover this, and if you haven't discovered this, but life doesn't go very good if you don't trust people. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, just basic things in life require you to trust people. Like, for instance, like, to get on an airplane and fly from one place to the next place, you got to trust that guy you don't know, right? But sometimes in life, right, like, people can disappoint us. And people can let us down. And because of that, we can start to lose trust. We can start to wonder, is this person trustworthy? Like, for instance, I don't know how it works for girls, but have you ever gotten a bad haircut? Have you ever noticed it's the people that are like really, really confident, they're like, I got this, that tend to give the worst haircuts, you know? I can go in sometimes and give the most clear definition, I can paint a beautiful vision, I can bring reference pictures, but have you ever been in the middle of a haircut and it's going bad? It's like, what can you do? You are totally helpless as the guy's just giving you the worst fade you've ever had in your entire life. You're like, that's it, Lord, just bless it. Use it somehow. You ever met like the overly confident like waiter or server like at the restaurant? Like you got 10 people at the restaurant and they refuse to write it down. I'm like, come on, dude, like there's no way you're gonna remember all these. I'm a professional. I'm like, dude, just write it down, man. Just write it down. I got a big thing right now. I don't trust the GPS anymore. Like what happened with the Google Maps? Like, does anybody have an answer? Is it Waze? Is that what we should put our trust in? Like if somebody like, no, don't trust Waze. The point is sometimes you and I, we can be so critical and we can wonder, is this person worthy of our trust? Yet I want to flip the question for a moment. I wonder sometimes when God looks down upon you and I wonder if he looks at you and I and says, man, I want to do something and I want to use you. I just wonder, are you worthy to be trusted? This would be the definition of being trustworthy, right? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm not talking about grace. I'm talking about being used by God. I'm talking about learning to understand that if you want more from God, you have to be trusted with where you're at right now. I wonder if we can use it as a big question. What if we were a church that was trustworthy? You see, my aim in life is that I would live my life in a manner that I would be saying, God, I'm trustworthy. God, you can trust me with your stuff. God, you can trust me with miracles. You can trust me with blessing. God, you can trust me with favor. Hello. But I don't just want to say I can be trusted with that stuff. I also want to say, God, you can trust me with pain. God, you can trust me with suffering. God, you can trust me with failures. You can trust me with frustration. God, I want to be a man who's worthy of your trust because I understand if you can trust me now, you can trust me in the future. Listen, when you're trustworthy, you go from tiny acts of God to thundering acts of God. This is what Luke chapter 16 is what we're reading about today. Jesus he's teaching, and what he's trying to get you and I to understand is that when we are trustworthy with small stuff, it makes us a candidate to be trustworthy with big stuff. And this is what he says to us as he comes to the end of his teaching. He says, he's pretty much trying to get you and I to realize that you have to submit your whole life to Jesus. Like, I think sometimes we want to just give Jesus like a part of our life. Like, here you can have this part, you know? But that doesn't work that way with Jesus. Your whole life. God, you can have my whole life. You can have my dreams. God, you can have my calling. God, you can have my family. You can have my job, my career. God, you can have my kids. But then Jesus goes to the jugular. God, you can have my money. No one ever amens right there, right? But that's the analogy that Jesus used. He's talking to us about submission, and he's saying, if you want to be a candidate, and you want to be used, and you want more, even your money has to submit to me. I want us to be a church that we ask ourselves this question, what if we were trustworthy? What could we see God do through us? I think the starting point for our miracle is that we'd simply live our life in a trustworthy manner. God, we're worthy to be trusted with whatever comes our way. If you believe it, somebody said amen today. So what I want to do is I want to ask you three questions today. And as I'm asking these questions, really, you got to ask yourself this question. You got to answer some of this stuff. Because ultimately, what my goal is on this first sort of installment of this collection is to help you start to take steps to answering that question to say, you know what, like I'm not perfect by any means, but I'm living my life in the direction of being trustworthy. So the first question is really, really simple. What if you knew your role? Everyone say, what if you knew your role? Because this is important that you understand your role. When it comes to the kingdom of God, your role is not that you're an owner, but rather your role is that you're a manager. Now, I know this is like kind of a tough pill for some of the CEOs and the young entrepreneurs in this room to swallow. Because we're like, no, man, I got here on myself, man. I know how to make things happen. I'm in charge. I'm the man. I'm the woman. All the single ladies, like, I'm that girl, independent women. That's me. Like, I know how to make stuff happen. But what you forget is that in God's kingdom, it's not a democracy, but rather it's a kingdom, meaning there's one king. His name is Jesus Christ. He sits far above. He's supreme to all. And you and I, we're managers. You're not the owner, you're the manager. And the first step into stepping into being a person who's trustworthy is that you simply know your role. Hey, God, I know that my job is to simply manage your stuff. This is what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 16. Look at what he says. He says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? I don't know about you, but I want to find out what these true riches are all about. And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? The key to true riches is managing effectively. We should do a whole collection on how to manage, how to step into management in God's kingdom. Because that's what we're doing. Our whole life is to be stewards of all of God's stuff. Listen to me. Everything you have, everything, came from God. I've got three brothers. My brother right beneath me, his name's Graham, and he is a legend. When Graham was 6 months of age, he was misdiagnosed with spinal meningitis, and it actually took his life. It's a miraculous story. He died on the operating table in surgery. Over 10 minutes, he was gone. Somehow, by the grace of God, he resurrected there, and literally, he started to breathe again. Doctors gave him a terrible diagnosis that he would never really walk, talk, see, hear. He does all of those things, but because of that moment, he suffered severe brain damage. However, Graham is a miracle in motion. Hello. He continues day by day to get better, to progress. How many know not every miracle is instant, but rather a lot of miracles, they happen step by step, day by day, week by week, year by year. Some of you got something right now that hasn't all the way happened yet. Let me just tell you, it's a miracle in motion. Keep being trustworthy. Yet Graham's cool because Graham's favorite hobby is to go to the movies on a Saturday. He loves it. I mean, I don't know if you can call this a hobby, but it's definitely a hobby for him, okay? This is one of his spiritual gifts, going to the movies on Saturdays. And maybe a year or so ago, I took him to the movies. And we got to the movie, he picked out the movie he wanted to watch, not what I wanted to watch, what he wanted to watch. And so we got to the teller. I said, Graham, you got any money for the movie? He goes, no. I was like, you don't have any money? He's like, nah. I was like, well, what was your plan? He's like, you got money. I'm like, yeah, good point. All right. Touche. Okay. And so paid for his movie, you know, and we walked in and we started walking in and I'm just heading to the theater. And Greg goes, hey, Rich, food. I go, you got money for food? He goes, no, but you do. I was like, good point again. So I was like, let's get him a small popcorn. He goes, no, large. And I'm like, dude. Little butter, extra butter. Okay, bro, you know. Big Diet Coke, extra candy. Isn't it amazing? The movie theater is the only place that you can go and get popcorn and a soda and spend $72. Like, where did we just go, you know? Welcome to AMC. Is this Ruth Chris? Like, nonetheless, we sit down in the theater and it's going pretty good. And somewhere in the first 20 minutes of the movie, like, I didn't get anything for myself, but I reach over towards Graham's popcorn and I just want a little bit, and I just went to get some, and as I reached to get the popcorn, Graham's like, I'm like, whoa! I'm like, do you slap my hand? That was a bit extra, you know? He's like, get your own! I'm like, get my own? He goes, this is mine! I'm like, get my own? This is mine? No, Graham, I don't think you understand. I own that popcorn! We started a debate about whether or not I could have some popcorn that I gave to him. Graham, I don't want all the popcorn. I want some of the popcorn. And Graham, I bought you the popcorn. I own the popcorn, the Diet Coke, and the sour, that's mine. And we laugh, but how many of you know this is what we do to God? God says, like, yo, I want you to give back, you're like, whoa, God, this is my popcorn. And God's like, dude, you wouldn't have any popcorn unless I bought you popcorn. Isn't this a deep message today? Wow, look at this. People getting blessed at 11 a.m. I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. I am guilty of this all the time. I am guilty for many times believing and thinking that somehow the blessings in my life, I deserve more credit for them. But I forget, and you forget, that everything, you gotta define that word, everything. Everything I have is on loan from God. Every gift I have, God gave it to me. Every talent I have, God gave it to me. I mean, my health, God gave that to me. My personality, God gave me that personality. My wife, my unborn child, gift from God. The roof over my head, gift from God. The shoes on my feet, gift from God. Every bit of clothing, every bit of food, it's a gift from God. Every bit of air that I suck into my lungs, God gave it to me. I'm not the owner, I'm the manager. And if you want to be trustworthy, you better know your role. We can go, hey, man, that's good, but then the question is, can we pass the test of actually proving that we know our role? Because God has sent and set up a beautiful system, and one of the systems that he set up for us is this idea of this word called the tithe. And we don't talk about it a whole lot at VU Church, but it's important that you do start to understand it, because the tithe, it simply means a tenth. I had this friend who was new to church. He's like, yo, man, I'm gonna start tithing. I was like, tithing? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna give some money. I'm like, tithe is like detergent, man. And he's like, ah, you know, I'm trying to get clean, you know, like. tithe just means a tenth. And look at what Malachi says. Malachi the prophet, this is an Old Testament principle. We're seeing Jesus echo it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, the church, the local congregation, the community, that there may be food in my house. Now watch this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Some people have this revelation. That's why they're clapping. But you might as well just clap, because I'm telling you what, it's good news for you and I. See, the whole point of the tithe is really just a test to you and I if we're good stewards. The whole point of the tithe is God's given us a lot of popcorn, and he's asking for a handful of popcorn. And when we don't, we're like, no. I got the extra butter. I made that happen. God's like, no, everything you have, I gave it to you. And I'm saying, bring a tenth back to me. See, the thing with the tithe is the tithe is one of the most purest and true forms of worship. I know our church loves to worship. If you go to VU Church, like, and maybe you're a guest today, we're so happy you're here, but this is a worshipful church. But a lot of people, they have a very, 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 what's the right way to say it? They have a very limited definition of worship. Because a lot of us, we just think worship's like the part we sing, you know? Like, oh my God, I love when we sing. Like, I feel God in such a way. I swear, last Sunday he came upon me like he was there. And like, what are we doing? We're reducing God down to like goosebumps, right? I love when that one girl, oh my God, when that one girl sings, oh. But come on, let's just be honest. What does singing a song cost you? See, the scripture says, bring a sacrifice of praise to God. Lifting your hand, that's the sacrifice? Yeah, I am sold out and radical. Check this out. I'm at VU Church with my hands up. I'm pretty serious. Like, really? No, a sacrifice of praise. See, when you give, it's sacrificial. I'm letting go of something that I earned and that I went to work and I showed up and I did my job, and now I'm trusting God and I'm showing God, I'm worthy to be trusted with more. I believe I'm returning to you what's yours. I want to make sure I'm a good steward. I know I'm not the owner. I know I'm the manager. Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. What I love about the tithe is both. It's obedience and sacrifice. And therefore, we worship God with our giving. And when we give, we're showing to God that I am worthy to be trusted. See, if you knew your role today, it would be so much easier for you to release that which does not belong to you over to God, and you would discover that God wants to do more and more and more. You see, I know my, you know what my role is? My role is I'm a water hose. You know the point of a water hose, right? A water hose, the point of a water hose is not to get wet. The point of the water hose is to carry water to dry areas. Yet how many of you know that when the water goes through the hose, although the point is not for it to get wet, it can't help but get wet as the water flows through it. You see, if you would discover that God blesses you in order that you might be a blessing to somebody else, you would discover in the process, you can't help but get wet. You're a conduit of God's blessing. God, I want to live my life in a way that I am trustworthy, that you would say Rich Jr. is a conduit of my blessing. I'm going to send so much blessing through him, and as I bless him through him, he's going to get blessed in the process. If you knew your role today, it wouldn't be so hard to be a blessing. Malachi says, test me in this, see if I don't open up the flood. This is the one area where you should be testing God. You'll never meet somebody who tithes who's like, you know what, man, I did that for 20 years. Pfft, that was a mistake. You won't find it. Anybody who's caught the revelation of it can only testify that God has continued to meet every single one of their needs. Come on. Can somebody agree to that? We're talking about being trustworthy. What if, it's just a question, like, there's no like, like God's speaking to you. You leave today and go, God, like, what if I did know my role? Here's my second question for you, is this. Is what if you valued small? Everyone say this. Say, what if you valued small? Like, this doesn't get preached nearly enough because this is not like a sexy question, you know? Like, yeah. Because the truth is, like, we despise small. We don't like insignificant. We don't like average. We don't like puny, teeny, tiny. We don't like any of those things. You ever met someone who's like, I've got a little dream for God? Like, you know, no one says that, right? Like, that's kind of like anticlimactic. I'm going to do something average for the Lord. Like no. Like, but what if we're missing something? Because look at what Jesus says. Again, this is Luke 16. This is our text today. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You see, what if that which you think is petty is actually packed with potential and purpose? What if? What if the thing you keep saying, that's petty, that's small, that's little, that's insignificant, what if that thing's actually packed with your purpose inside of it? See, you need to learn this about God, and this is just good preaching now, whether you amen or not, that's okay, I know it's the truth, and the truth is that God is into small stuff. Like little things. I don't know what it is, but God loves using little, tiny, small things. And until you can do something small for God, you will never do anything big for God. Because until you can appreciate tiny, you'll never value the enormous. I'm preaching better than that today. Somebody ought to give God some praise. I'm going to help you unlock something today. Because this is about to change the next 5 days of your week if you'll catch this revelation. I'm telling you, God loves small stuff. God loves using little things to do big things. You'll see it all throughout the scriptures. I mean, everywhere you turn, you see God doing this stuff. I mean, just consider for a moment that life begins with a seed so small that you can't even see it with the naked eye. Like, that's how you started. Little. Now look at you doing stuff. But you started right here. It's amazing because, like, that's the power of a seed, right? Like, you could cut open an apple right now and you can count all the seeds inside that apple. But, friend, how many of you know you can't count the amount of apples in that one seed? It's the power of a seed. There's something inside the seed. It grows, it matures, it becomes something. But you have to learn how to value small. Small is not insignificant. Small is where you start. Small is where you begin. I love God because he has us all start the same way. But go through the scriptures. It's like God uses small stuff. Moses has one small staff and he leads 2 million Israelites out of Egypt with a small staff. Samson takes one donkey's jawbone, and with one small jawbone, he fights off and kills 1,000 Philistine soldiers. You read in 2 Kings, you read about a widow. All she's got is one little jar of oil, and the prophet says, get every jar you can find, and every jar she can find, the oil just poured out and poured out and poured out and poured out of the one small, tiny jar. Jesus finds a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Pretty insignificant. But he gives those 5 loaves and those 2 fish over to Jesus. Jesus feeds 15,000 people. Why? Because he uses small stuff. Found a small, insignificant 15-year-old Jewish little girl, a virgin. Nobody knew her name, but God saw the small little girl and said, this is the one who will carry God into the universe. God wrapped himself up in flesh, and he was born in a small, tiny stable. Don't tell me God is not into small stuff. God loves using little things to do big things. I love our church because this is a value in our church. Like, you might just see a small middle school auditorium, but I don't see that. I see something big. I see a seed in the ground. I see something getting ready. I remember before we started our church, before this thing was this thing, and before you were here, and before people were sitting in additional seating areas, and before we had 6 services, and before we had titles, and we started these things called VU Crews, and they're small groups. I like that word, small groups. And all we had was 4 of them, just 4. And Kyle and Brianna Graham, they were in the last service. Their job was to oversee the small groups, the real small groups, like real small. There's 4 of them. And the first week we did small groups, we had about 30 people. Yeah. And we got pumped about it. We said, oh, yeah, God's doing something. Now, not a lot of people were celebrating, but we were celebrating. Yeah. Because we realize that God is into small things. And God works with small things. This past week, we had crew week. We had 70 crews all the way from Boca Raton to Kendall. I'm trying to show you. We didn't have 30 people in VU Crews this week. We had 959 people in a... Somebody give God some praise. I'm trying to preach to what he can do. Listen to me. Get this in your heart today. Many tasks from God lead to mega blessings from God. When you steward the many thing that he puts in your hand, you watch as he does something mega in your life. But what's our challenge? Our challenge is we don't value small. In fact, this is what Zechariah was saying. Zechariah said it in chapter 4. He says, who dares despise the day of small things? Well, I could answer Zechariah. A lot of us do. Because we're obsessed with big, we're obsessed with gigantic, we're obsessed with enormous. Yet with God, size does not determine success. Stewardship does. How you steward that which was given to you. How many know, ultimately, size and big is just relative. Like, big is relative. I want to get this in your heart today. Big is relative. Some of you right now are like, I have a small job. Well, let me introduce you to somebody who doesn't have a job. Well, I guess it's not that small. You're right. I have a small bank account. Well, let me introduce you to somebody who's living in communist North Korea right now. Ooh, okay, yeah. Not that small. I've got a small apartment. Really? Let me take you to Mumbai, India right now. 1 billion people in India, most of them living under the poverty line. Most of them are just happy if they can get a roof over their head. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that size is determined by the scale that you choose. And it's a state of mind. And I want you this week to change your state of mind. Because it's small steps that lead to big opportunities with God. So choose to change your perspective. Choose to change your mindset. Quit letting outside voices dictate the scale that you use. Quit letting outside voices tell you something small that you know on the inside, this is big. Yeah. In fact, here's your homework this week. Here's your homework. Your homework this week is when you're doing something that you think is small, I want you to declare this is big. This is big. This is big. I'm taking small steps so I might walk into big opportunities. I'm gonna value the small stuff. So when you show up to work tomorrow on time, I want you to say, this is big. When you pick up, I bet you will. When you pick up your daughter tomorrow on time after school and nobody's there applauding you and nobody thinks it's that big of a deal that you're an engaged parent, I want you to look back and say, this is big. When you sit down to dinner this week with your family and you all come and you sit together, I want you to say, this is big. When you stay in the meeting this week, fully engaged, not distracted, I want you to say, this is big. When you celebrate any type of wedding anniversary, say, this is big. I'm building a house that fears the Lord. I'm building for the future. This is big. When you show up to church without killing your whole family on the way getting over here, you should walk out of here and go, this is big. This is big. I could have been at the beach, but I'm here. This is big. This is big. Because big, it's a state of mind and it's relative. And Jesus is saying, yo, like you want big stuff, but the reason why you don't have big stuff is because you don't value small stuff. It's not who we are as a church. I met a guy not too long ago. He said, man, I just put some money down on the lotto. I sure hope we win it. I'm going to give big to the church. I said, bro, do you give anything to the church right now? He said, no, I don't have enough to give right now. I'm going, yo, like, but you've missed it. Because if you can't give out of the little that you have, how would you ever be trustworthy to get more in the future? You got to value small. This is big what I'm doing. Every step, this is big. This is big. This is big. What I'm doing, this matters. I'm showing up. This is big. Because I value small stuff. I value little. I'm not going to despise small beginnings. What if you valued small? And lastly today, as we come to a close, it's simply this. What if you believed God at his word? What if? You see, when you're trustworthy, you become confident. Yeah. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. How many know it's hard to expect harvest when you don't have any seed in the ground? Right. So I'm not talking about finance right now. I'm talking about miracles in motion, about living in a way, stewarding the blessings that God has given me, positioning and posturing myself to say, God, I'm trustworthy. And because I'm trustworthy, I'm confident. If I don't have it right now, I can trust it's on the way because it's just a matter of time. God, you're faithful and I trust you at your word. Matthew 6 says, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Not second, not third. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. May I remind you that when you place God first, you will never come in second. He will always take care of you. If his eye is on the sparrow, certainly his eye is on you today. What if you trusted God? What if you believed him? What if you said, you know, I'm gonna take his word, I'm gonna take it to heart, I'm gonna trust him and I'm gonna believe him. Jesus, he could put a lot of things, but he goes to the heart of what most of us struggle with most. He says, here's the deal. Like, it's not rich right now. Like, we got to preach the whole Bible, so that's what we're doing. Because some of you are like, man, yo, dude, this is one of those churches that, like, always wants my money. Like, God wants my money. No, God wants his money. That's another story. But this is what Jesus is trying to get after. He's trying to make sure that you are trusting him fully with your whole life. And one of the ways he does that is he tests us with our finances. And this is what he says. He says, here's the deal. No one can serve two masters. You will either love one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And then out of all the different masters, out of all the different gods he could come up with, he goes with the God of money. He says, no one can serve both God and money. Even our money has to submit over to God. What's funny is that our money knows this to be the truth. You ever look on a dollar bill? What does it say? It says, in God we trust. Your money's preaching at you. Your money's saying, don't trust me. I'm not the source to your miracle. I'm not the answer to your hope. I'm not the thing that's going to satisfy your soul. You got to trust in God. You got to trust in God. I'm almost done. Let me finish. You're an ambitious bunch. I like you standing, but I just want you to get this today. When we started this church, you know, like, we started with a big what if. What if we could build a place that people decide, I don't have to go there, I get to go there. We kind of said, what if we could build a church that people were excited to bring their non-Christian friends to? What if we could build a church that was more known for what we're for than what we're against? What if we could build a church that says you can belong even before you believe? What if we built a church that would rival the world with a spirit of excellence? What if we built a church that was more passionate than any football victory, any concert? What if, what if, what if? And what happens is that when I put my trust in anything other than God, when I'm devoted to money, when I submit to money, what happens is all it ends up doing is producing fear. And some of you today, when I ask the question, what if, you don't go towards the potential of what God could do, but rather you go right to the present situation of what is and what could get worse. So many of you, you say, but what if I get sick? But what if I fail? What if nobody likes me? What if I try and I disappoint? What if I mess up again? What if I catch the flu? What if my kids, they don't turn out right? What if, what if, what if, what if? And all that's coming out of you is fear. But when you live your life in a way that's saying, God, I'm worthy of your trust. I'm trustworthy. I value small stuff. I know I'm a manager, not an owner. God, I'm gonna believe you at your word. If you said it, I know you can do it. Now your what if, your fear gets flipped into faith. And now you start saying crazy stuff. You start saying, what if God does show up? What if I don't quit? What if I decide to get back up after that disappointment? What if I don't let the betrayal make me bitter, but I let the betrayal make me better? What if I decide I'm not backing down, come hell or high water? What if I trust God? What if God shows up? What if, what if, what if? If you believe it today, give God a shout of praise. Come on, somebody.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.